It's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. The book is called Unhinged, an insider's account of the Trump White House. And with us this morning is Omarosa Manigault Newman. Omarosa, glad to have you here.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I am not as busy as you are, but I'm otherwise fine. I wonder, Omarosa, when you woke up, what morning you woke up and said, "What the hell am I doing here?"
Well, I would have to tell you that it might have been the second day in
day
the White
two.
House. And day two, and I had to go to this press conference with Sean Spicer, where he declared that we had the biggest inauguration, biggest attended inauguration in the history, period. And I thought, well, I was there, and you were there, and what we saw was not the biggest inauguration. But
that was your first hint?
Of crazy, yes. That was the beginning of crazy.
Okay. And at what point did you figure out that this was not the place for you, or did they figure that out for you first?
Well, there were so many instances. For instance, Charlottesville, as I write about in Unhinged, was a moment of reckoning for the country, for the president, but particularly for me personally. And that's when I started to plot my departure, started to look for my replacement. I recognized that if I left the White House, that there would be no African-American senior staff serving in the West Wing or in his administration. And so I was very concerned to make sure that there would be someone still there. I have to tell you, Pat, that even till today, there are no African-American senior staff. He has not replaced me. He has not attempted to appoint anyone. He has no diversity in his senior staff appointments. And it is very, very telling in the decisions that he makes.
Well, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm hoping you can educate me about this, Omarosa. And that is, you knew who this guy was going in. You'd had years of experience on obviously a slightly different level, a platform with Donald Trump.
Yeah, we can't compare reality TV with the White House.
Oh, I think we can now. But were you expecting him to be any different once he got the White House?
Yeah, you know, when people say you knew all of this about him, that's just not particularly true. Donald Trump, up to that point, had been, in my eyes, a successful businessman who had managed his family business to, you know, create these amazing properties and these deals. And in some ways, I thought, as a woman who grew up poor, I will emulate that. I'll go out and try to be successful as well. The things that I've seen with Donald Trump, starting with, the campaign and into the White House, are things that no one could ever expect. No one would expect that Donald Trump would separate children from their parents, put them in cages, and not reunite them. I mean, those are things you cannot even expect from any decent human being. And so to say that I knew that, I can't say that I had the benefit of hindsight being 2020, but I had hoped that he would rise to the occasion and not, you know, really destroy the dignity of the office of the president.
And forgive me, Omarosa, for jumping around a bit, but there's so much to cover here and so little time to do it. And, you know, one of the things that we're wondering about, I think all of us Americans collectively, is that, you know, you were such a staunch and outspoken supporter of Donald Trump's before he got into the White House and after he was in the White House. And a lot of people wondering, is it just sour grapes? Or was it, you know, real defining moments, as you've described, that changed your opinion about him?
I was very, very vocal because, yes, Donald Trump was my friend. I met him back in 2003. He selected me to be a part of an interesting experiment called The Apprentice. And we developed a very unique friendship in the last 15 years. It's not easy to say that you see your friend change, but I'm not the only one in America who's had a friend that you've known for a long time who you start to see who changes. You know, and so when people ask me, either sour grapes or you're upset. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that Donald wouldn't recognize the opportunity he has to unite this country. I'm also very disappointed that he has this unique opportunity to improve relations in this community, in this country, and he's decided not to do that as well. And so, no, when someone says sour grapes, it's not that at all. It's the fact that I did put myself out there over and over again. I was his most vocal African-American supporter. And just so to see him behave the way he's behaving, even now with the death of Senator John McCain.
Yes.
That's not something you can expect your former friend to do or how he would behave. No one could anticipate that.
Well, I'll tell you, truth be told, I am no fan of the president's. I was, though, among the surprised and shocked that you somehow managed to tape your firing inside of the Situation Room, which we all, you know, feel is this sort of hallowed vault-like place where, you know, where national secrets can be told and where, you know, wars are planned and sometimes executed. Do you think in hindsight that was a good idea?
I think it was a great idea for me, and I'll tell you why, Pat. In this country, no woman should be taken into the basement of the White House, into a room, as you just described, that is used for military strategy, in a room that's soundproof, that's locked, that's guarded by men with guns, taken into that room by men and not allowed to have anyone to be there to advocate for them, and to be threatened and be told that things can get ugly for you or there'll be damage to your reputation. Pat, if I did not have those recordings, I think it'd be hard for people to realize that in the age of Me Too, that these types of things are still happening. It was very curious to me that General Kelly would choose that space, that hollow ground, as you called it, an important place to carry out such a meeting. And I believe that women still need to protect themselves. And had I not done so, then I believe that people would be questioning the validity of me sharing what happened to me.
The yeah, I think you're right about that.
He wanted to court-martial me. Like, it was so bizarre. And when people listen to it, they still can't fathom why he took me in that room and why he needed to threaten me and put fear in me and why, after I asked four times to leave, I was not permitted to leave. All of that happened in the White House under the command of Donald Trump and General John Kelly, and I was terrified for my life. So to answer your question, yes, as I describe in the book, if I did not do that, then no one would have believed that that was still happening in this country.
Are there more recordings that are going to come out, Omarosa?
Absolutely. I think the American people have a right to know. I mean, you spend your taxpayer dollars to run the White House and to run the government. The reason I wrote Unhinged was to give people a behind-the-scenes, up-close look of what happens every day in the Oval Office, in the Cabinet Room, on Air Force One. They have a right to know, and in this case, hear what the types of things government officials say about them in meetings and how they come to make important decisions that impact the lives of everyday Americans.
And where does the non-disclosure agreement come in to play, in your view?
Well, as you know, Donald Trump has unleashed his full legal team to shut me down, saying that I can't say any disparaging things about him. But what he doesn't know, and I'll be careful how I answer this because they have documented all of my interviews because they continue to pursue legal action against me. You cannot silence someone, particularly when they're blowing the whistle on bad, corrupt behavior. And so that'll be tested in a court of law. I won't fight that in a court of public opinion. I have an incredible legal team that will demonstrate that Donald Trump cannot bully me, will not bully me, and I will fight for the right to tell the truth.
So do you think it falls under the whistleblower umbrella?
As I said, I'm going to fight that in the court of law, not in the court of public opinion. But certainly I have a right to blow the whistle on the bad behavior that I showed. One of the tapes that I shared was of Laura Trump attempting to bribe me by paying $15,000 a month. And she explicitly said that I could not say anything that unless it was positive about Donald Trump. And she said that that money was coming from donors. And yes, I played that tape so Americans could hear about the corruption. But again, you cannot, you know, restrict people from exposing corruption and the types of crimes that that family is committing in the White House.
And let me ask you for one more thing, because I know you got to go, Omarosa. But if I throw out a name, will you give me some first impressions of that person?
Sure. That sounds like fun, Pat. Let's do it.
Let's start with Vice President Mike Pence.
Ooh, terrifying.
Terrifying. Okay. How about Kellyanne Conway?
A chameleon.
A chameleon. As necessary, or?
You've got to look at Unhinged. I talk extensively about Kellyanne.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I believe to con anyone.
And Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I mean, she got a tough gig going up and representing this guy every day.
This is going to surprise you, but I'm going to say a friend, because she truly was a friend of mine, and I don't even recognize the woman that stands behind the podium and deceives the American people every day. She was my friend, so to watch her tell blatant lies, it's heartbreaking. It's a very painful process to witness.
Would you consider yourself friends to this day?
I don't think that she wants to. After I've exposed some of the things that have happened, I don't know that she would say that. But I can say that I met her during the campaign and got to know her family, her father, for instance, her husband, her children. And as I stated, I don't recognize the woman who stands there and doesn't even blink.
It's interesting.
When she says these lies.
And one more for you, Omarosa, and maybe you can help me understand what she's doing there. Melania Trump.
I adore Melania, and I know people don't understand that, and I write about her in the book. I write about their relationship, their marriage, their arrangement. But the Melania that I know is brilliant. She speaks seven languages. She's an incredible mom. Barron is an incredible child because of her parenting. But it has to be painful for her to watch her husband have affairs with porn stars and Playboy playmates, and to do all of this right in front of her eyes. It has to be incredibly painful. So my heart continues to go out to her.
Well, I didn't think that the White House could get any more interesting or noteworthy than it already has been. But Omarosa, you proved me wrong. And you've made it so. Obviously, a lot of people are interested in reading Unhinged. It's the number one bestseller on the New York Times list. And congratulations to you.
Thanks for having me on, Pat.
Pleasure to have you here. That is Omarosa Manigault Newman. And to say that she is an outspoken former employee of the White House, I guess, would be the understatement of the universe. And I have a feeling that this, you know, whether it's more tapes, more recordings, or just more information,